Exodus chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 13. Verses 1, 2, we're going to skip to verse 12 and 13. There's some churches that have their own personality, they have their own flow. You have some churches that are known for their worship, other churches known for their choirs. Some churches are known for their good fried chicken. This church is known for its love. I know God's expanding us. He's adding to our gifts and to our graces. This is a worship and a word church. Worship and the Word, I call them the Wonder Twins. Worship and the Word. The worship sets your heart in place and in position to receive the Word. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. I think it should be on the screen. Let's read it together. Then the Lord spoke, saying, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." Verse 12. "Ye shall devote to the Lord the first offering of every womb and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord, but every first offspring," is that it? "You shall redeem with a lamb, but if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." Amen, amen. Leviticus chapter 27. Read it from two different versions. We're going to read it from the New American Standard and then the Message. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Let's read it together. "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." The Message version says, "A tenth of the land's produce, whether grain from the ground or fruit from the trees, is God's. It is holy." Amen. It is holy to God. Hallelujah. We're going to continue. This is the last message in this series, First Things First. We're going to move forward. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It's always good to know that God is in the place. Let's review just a moment. The firstborn. We said the first. We had three points. We said the first point 2 weeks ago. We said the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Second point we said last week that the first fruits must be offered. This third point we're going to deal with this morning. We're going to end this series with the tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. Now I'm going to say it. Right off the top, the tithe is a starting place. You don't hear much talk, and there's a lot of debate. You don't hear much talk about the tithe in the New Testament because at this point it should be automatic. We don't continue to talk about learning our ABCs in college. It should be something that should be a part. So they don't talk much about the tithe itself because that should be something that should be a part of you. It moves over into grace. Some have entitled it grace giving, and it's giving to the measure of the grace that you have received. The tithe is the starting place. It's the starting place. And we're gonna go throughout this year, and I've done some, God's shown me some tremendous revelation. And as we do our stewardship series from each quarter, we're gonna go a little bit deeper. We're gonna go a little bit deeper. Because there's some things that God that we've just religion has made us ignorant of. And I think that our hearts have been in the right place and God has graced us. But once you know better, you gotta do better. So we're gonna talk about the tithe. The tithe must be first. And let me just say this. The tithe is a tenth of your increase of your earnings. Amen. If you don't have a job, you can't earn. Amen. That becomes an offering or a sacrificial seed. But you can't tithe on what you have not earned. Amen. I wanted to say that. There have been moments where we were without income and livelihood, and we were getting some things, and that was not a tithe. It was an offering. It was an offering. So I want to say that off the top. The tithe is the first tenth of your increase of your income. That which you have worked for. All right. So I want to start out with a illustration. Come here, Marcel. Give it up for Marcel. For illustration purposes. I want my money back. Say Marcel helps me move a piece of furniture from my office to the back, and I appreciate him, and I give him 10 $1 bills. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10. 10 $1 bills. Y'all with me? Okay. Now we know his tithe is obvious, right? He earned, he worked, he helped me move that furniture to the back. His tithe is obvious. It's what? $1. Okay, that's good. But which one? I mean, it's the first one that leaves his hand. The first one that leaves his hand or leaves his account, that's the tithe. See, it takes faith to give it off the top. Don't take faith to give God what's left. So this tithe is one of these dollars. That's for sure. But it's the first one off the top. Before you get your nails did, before you get your haircut, before you get that lace front, before you get that Yaki or that Remy, before you do all of that, before you get your face beat, all of that. Before, you know, it's before you get those new J's off the top. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you right off the top. All right? Thank you. Give him a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the first one that leaves your hand. It's the first one that leaves your hand. The first one, you get it. It's the first one that leaves your hand. You don't give God the leftovers. You give him what's first. When it comes to the tithe, the blessing is not on the money. It's not on the money. The blessing is on our obedience and God's place or priority. That's what the blessing is. The tithe is a test of priority. If God can trust you to keep him first, he won't mind blessing you. The money is irrelevant. Honestly, hear me. The devil got us caught up in the money. You think God really needs money? No. No. You heard me say it before. I'll say it again. If he's walking on what we consider the highest form of what is the backbone of our currency. He's walking on streets of gold. Money is not an issue for God. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. The world is his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is his. Money is not an issue for God. It's our obedience and his priority or his place in our heart. That's where the blessing of the tithe comes from. Point blank, flat out, right there. The blessing of the tithe is, are you willing to obey me in what I ask you to do and keep me in my right place? Amen. That's it. It's not the money. It's not the money. If it was the money, then people who made more money would be more blessed. If it was the money. It's not about the money. It's about our obedience and God's place or priority. Now, I don't want you to get legalistic. I don't want you to get legalistic, but I do want you to be mindful and aware of God's desire for priority. You don't have to fuss. Okay, which one came first? Don't get legalistic. Just know God considers priority. He wants to have first priority. Just know that. Now, our tithing attitude and behavior are tangible expressions of our love and reverence of God and his word. Our attitude in the tithe and our behavior in the tithe this will probably be the last time you hear me talk about tithe this extensively. I'm just going to move into giving. That's where God wants us. He says God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Not necessarily a cheerful tither, because that's the base. That's rudimentary. That's coloring book stuff. If you're still tripping over the tithe, you're still in preschool. Spiritually. It is the base. He wants us to be that cheerful giver, that grace giver. So this will probably be the last time you hear me talk extensively about the tithe per se. We're going to move into giving. But there's an attitude and a behavior that comes with that. And that is a tangible expression of our love and our reverence for God and his word. And I hear somebody say, well, Pastor, I don't necessarily agree with that. Because I love God and I don't tithe or I don't tithe consistently. Well, boo, I hate to tell you. But you may like God a whole lot. You may sincerely love the idea of God, but if you don't obey God, you don't love him. If you don't obey God, you don't love him. But I come to church every Sunday. I sing, I listen to 104.1 all week. I fast. But if you don't obey God, you don't love him. You don't. If you don't obey God, you do not love him. Here are a couple of scriptures that articulate the point. Jeremiah 7:23 says, but this thing commanded I, saying, this is God, obey my voice and I will be your. Not like me, not come to my house. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. See, we was doing real good. Hallelujah in worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, we was doing real good. You was getting broken and slain, but now, yeah. He says, obey my voice. Don't shout. Don't talk in tongues. Kickstart your new Honda, come and tie your bow tie. No, he says, obey my voice. do what I say do, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. That ain't enough. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. Don't say, Pastor. No, this is the word of God. It's the word of God. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Okay, I hear the spiritual wonders out there. Okay, Pastor, that was Old Testament. But wait, there's more. John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Ha, right there. It don't get no plainer than that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How many folks have you heard God clearly said something. They saw it in the word. I don't need to pray about that. He just showed you. He just told you. He confirmed it with his own word. You need to pray. Who are you going to pray to? They would be like me giving you instructions and then you going around the corner coming through this door and asking me again. No. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Not the loudest one in the room. Not the one that run and shout and step on folk toes. No, not that one. The one who keeps my commandments. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. You may be in real like with God, but if you're not obeying him, you don't love him. But you can change that. Ain't no condemnation. Just turn it around. Just start doing what he says do. Just start doing what he says do. See, if that don't light your fire, consider this. I remember I grew up with my grandmother. I call her my dear. She was the original my dear. She was original my dear. I don't know if Barclay would do that. But my dear, she would I'd tell her that I loved her. And as soon as I would say that, she would hit me with, if you love me, you do what I say do. Y'all had grandma like that? Mm-hmm. If you love me, you'd obey me. She said, if you love me, you do what I told you to do. Now, to my Madea, obedience was better than thick, syrupy, sweet, affectionate words. She ain't like nobody kissing on her or nothing like that. So all that stuff didn't move her. It was doing what she asked you to do. And if you're a parent in the room, you feel the same way. I've told my kids, I heard Connie Lee come up in my spirit. Sydney will say, I love you. I said, well, then I need you to do what I asked you to do. That's how I know love. That's how I spell love, obedience. Now, when she knew I was plotting, she'd always say, you plotting. I don't know if my grandma had a record or nothing. I don't know where she came from. I don't know, but she had like prison slang sometimes. She talked crazy sometimes. She said, you plotting on me, boy? And she hold her eye like, you plotting on me, boy? She said, when she knew I was plotting, she says, and I go and I say, I love you. She said, keep your love. And then she said, your little love. Well, I think it got to be little. Keep your little love. Keep your little love. Keep your little love. She said, because I know you got dirt on your mind. She called me out. She knew I was plotting. She knew I was plotting. She knew I was getting ready to do something. She said, don't throw that love. Don't throw that love my way when you're getting ready to do something you know I told you not to do. Yeah, because for her, love was more than just a word. It was action. Genuine love for someone initiates movement and demands demonstration. Hallelujah. Say it again. Genuine love initiates movement and demands demonstration. Hallelujah. Genuine love, it demonstrates movement. You can't say you love somebody and still stay the same. Something changes. We say when we counsel with young couples and he's just like hanging out with his boys. I say, you love this woman? He said, yes, sir. I said, you know what? You're gonna have to put a restriction on that, chief. I just like hanging with my boys. I say, okay. Boys can't do what your wife is able to do for you. You're gonna have to change some things up. Love, real love, it initiates movement and demands demonstration. Don't just tell me you love me, show me. So look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, is God really first in your heart? Is he really first in your heart? Is he really first? He may be first out of your mouth when you're in trouble. He may be first out of your mouth around other church people. But is he in your heart? Is God first? Jesus said in Luke 12:34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Look at your neighbor again. Say, is God really first in your heart? Amen. The best way you can tell this, look at your ledger. Best way you can tell, look at your ledger. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the question is, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Because your heart can be easily located once we found where your treasure is. For the child of God, our treasure already has an address. The local house of prayer. The house of God is the treasury or the storehouse for the disciple. Your local church, amen. The place that you call, that we call our spiritual home, that's where the treasure that God gives us, that's where it is housed. Amen. Amen. Now there are some who will argue that their hearts are in their church, but their treasure is saying, no, it's not. I'm over here at the boom boom room. No, it's not. I'm over here getting this Brazilian. No, your treasure not. No, it's over here doing that thing. Your treasure will tell off on you. Your treasure will tell off on you. Even though we say with our heart, with our mouth, where our heart is, the demonstration is where the treasure lies. Now this, and I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Exodus chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Exodus chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Y'all getting some out of this? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? When you shall say to him, with a powerful hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Verse 15. It came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I sacrificed to the Lord the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem. Now, he says, what is this? In verse 14. Your sons, and when time comes, they shall say, what is this? What they're saying is, they're going to ask the question, why are you sacrificing all these firstborn? See, there's going to come a time where your sons are going to ask, why are we sacrificing? We're in the sheep business, and why are you sacrificing our sheep? We make money from our sheep that we raise, but last year you killed 73 sheep. What is this? What's the meaning of this sacrificing of the sheep? Then he says in verse 15, he says, therefore I sacrifice. He says, here's why I sacrifice. This is why. Because we were once slaves. We were once slaves in Egypt. He says, and we were held in bondage. We were beaten. We were not given sufficient supply. He said, we were made to work in strenuous conditions. We live like animals. He says, but God. By strength of hand, he brought us out of bondage. This is why we sacrifice the firstborn, because we were once slaves in Egypt. So what does it have to do with us today? I'll tell you what it has to do with us today. We were once slaves in sin, trapped, doomed, and destined for a life that was dirty, defeated, and disconnected from our destiny. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered us out of sin through the sacrifice of his firstborn, Jesus. And so the tithe is in a very real way, it is a symbol of us giving back our first because God gave his first. Hallelujah. And the same way that his first redeemed everything behind him, when you give that tithe off the top, it redeems all the 90 behind it. Amen. For this reason. This is why I want to encourage you, if you don't share and don't go through the tithing procedure and the giving procedure with your children, begin to teach them, begin to show them, this is why we do this. This is why we tithe. This is why because we were once slaves to sin, held in bondage, doomed and destined to die, disconnected from the place and purpose that God had for us, but he gave his first. It's more than just money. It's more than just money. I'm getting ahead of myself because I need to tell you this I said this in the first week that the tithe, when he says in Malachi, he says, "You are, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How? Through tithe and offering." He says he's not talking about robbing in the sense that you're taking my money. He says you're robbing me because you're robbing me an opportunity to bless you. You're robbing me of an opportunity to bless you because when you are obedient, he says, oh, thank you for the word. He says, if you are obedient, he says, you can eat the good of the land. You can't eat the good of the land disobedient. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Your obedience opens the door for God to bless you. And he says, when you are not obedient and don't put me in proper place and priority by giving that first, the 10% off the top, you rob me, God says, of blessing you. You rob me of an opportunity to bless you. I can't bless you like I want to bless you if you're disobedient. Come on, parents, you know what I'm talking about. You take stuff away when your children are disobedient. You put them on restriction when your children are disobedient. Do you think God is going to bless you and give you more when you're disobedient? He's a faithful father. And he says, you robbed me of the opportunity to bless you. So the tithe is more than money. Tithe is more. It's more about our heart and God's priority in our heart. So let's connect some dots. Let's connect some dots. When God is first in our heart, he stays in front. When he's in front, we're able to focus on him. I'm working them F's this morning. When he's in front, we're able to focus on him better. The better our focus is on God, we reduce the devil's ability to frustrate. Reduced demonic frustration fortifies my faith. And a fortified faith carries divine favor. Oh. Oh. Did y'all see that? Can you taste that? See, it's putting God first keeps him up front. When he's up front, I can focus better. The better I focus, the more I reduce the ability of the devil to frustrate. Reduce frustration, increases faith in me. A fortified faith sets me up for divine favor. And it begins by honoring the tithe. Honoring that first 10% sets that in motion. Here's the final word.
Here's a final word. I told you I was going to be done. Before we wrap up today, Auntie, can I get my Academy Award music, please? Before we wrap up today, I want you to take a moment. I want you to open a dialogue with God. And I want you to ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? What are you saying to me through this message? Some of you are tithers, you're faithful tithers, and you're saying, Pastor, I know this, I got this, I know this. What is God saying to you through this message? Just open up that dialogue. If you're already a faithful giver, is he challenging you to go deeper? If we can freely give gratuity, 12 and 15% to our waitresses, by all accounts, the only reason they've been nice to us is because they were employed. God loves us because he just loves us. I'm a faithful giver. I'm already tithing. What is God saying to me? I was talking to my wife yesterday, and I said, babe, I sense God saying he wants us to step it up. I've got a mentor. He said that for several years when they were starting out, he was brand new to faith, and he was just on fire for God. And for many years, he and his wife, they gave 70% of their income to God. And from that time, God has blessed him with houses and cars. He said he's given away over 11 cars, 3 houses. Twice God told him to empty out his bank account and give everything away and start from scratch. And he's done it twice, and God has blessed him every time. You can't beat God giving. Can't beat him. He said he got a call from a man after he had emptied out his bank account and his life savings and had given his house away and given his car away. And he was there, and he says, okay, God, what next? He said, somebody gave him a call and said, I want to take care of your transportation needs. He thought he was giving him a car. He said, this person says, I want to give you a plane. He said, not only am I giving you a plane, I want to give you a plane. He said, I want to pay for the hangar for 5 years. He said, I want to pay for the pilot and the gas and the maintenance for the next 10 years. Wherever you need to go to preach the gospel, he says, I want you to go. God told me to do this for you. You can't beat God giving. Honor God with what he's telling you to do. Now, don't get caught up. What he's telling Mike to do, he may not be telling you to do. What he's telling me to do, he may not be telling you to do. Are you obedient to the voice and to the word he gave you? Obey the voice of God to you. Obedience and priority, that is the whole meaning, the whole ball of wax when it comes to the tithe. It's not the money. Do you love me enough? Do you honor me enough to obey me with the tithe? Do you honor me enough to obey me? And are you willing to, with the tithe, demonstrate my priority in your life? So if you have not, I want you to open that dialogue. God, what are you saying to me through this message today? Are you challenging me to go deeper? Are you challenging me to move from 10 to 12%? Are you challenging me to move to go deeper? God may be challenging some of you to make him first in every area of your life. Come to church, you got saved, but you're still holding on to some things that God really wants to take over. You're saved, you love God. There's no disputing that you love God, but there's still some issues that you haven't given over to him. You're still holding on to anger. You're still holding on to bitterness. You're still holding on to some things that are hindering the flow of God's spirit in your life. And maybe this message on giving is saying, I want you to give that to me. Give that fear to me. Give that anger to me. Give that regret. Give that worry to me. Maybe God's challenging you to give more of yourself to him. You may be here in the sanctuary. You may be here watching us through social media or listening to us on the radio or television. But you're here because you recognize that something needs to change today. You may not know Jesus. That's where the change begins. That's where the change begins. You haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. And if you haven't, that's where the change begins. First things first. First things first. If you're not saved and not giving your heart to God, today's a good day to get saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every one of your sins. Isn't it time you made God first today? I need everybody standing. Isn't it time you made God first in your life? Isn't it time you surrendered that thing? You've been holding on to it this long and it still hadn't gotten better. As a matter of fact, it may have gotten worse. Isn't it time you gave that to God? Isn't it time you surrendered that to God right now? The Bible says, cast not some of your care, but all your care on him, for he cares for you.